It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, brought to you by our good friends at Innovated Companies, innovatedcompanies.com. My friend and yours, Randy Green. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, and just all around tremendous guy with a tremendous family. And you guys got to meet, got to know Stephanie a little bit on one of our last shows and some of the great things they got going on. That's why we're so proud to be associated with good people. And it starts with innovatedcompanies.com, residential, commercial, industrial. They've got you covered. It's the name you know and trust, and can't say enough about all of our great partners. That includes our friends at SynergyHockeySkills.com. SynergyHockeySkills.com always brings the one, the only Jamie Rivers to our show. So let's not even beat around the bush, because he doesn't have time to beat any bush. And that's Jamie Rivers. What's going on?
Jerome, how are you, buddy?
Well, I'm doing okay. You know, I was thinking to myself that I got to give myself a raise, all this scheduling I got to do to get the real talent on this show the way everybody wants between you and Kimby. But it's a labor of love, I call it.
Yeah, I know. We got you running in circles, buddy. I know it. So I appreciate you. Know.
No, I listen, in the end, it works out. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't know, but things have worked out to where we have access to studios at odd times, and it's going to work out for the show this year, I think. So we'll have to try to get you and Kimby together more, though. That's the key, because that's what people really want to hear. But at least they get to hear from you both at in different interviews. So let's really get right down to it with you. You know, you break down a lot of tape, not just Blues tape. We're three games into this thing here, and I got to tell you, it's not a Stanley Cup hangover for me as a fan. I'm genuinely impressed where they're at today, three games in. I was really expecting a slug it. Like, I don't know why. I guess maybe you just hear so much about how tired they probably are after a short offseason. But, man, I've been pretty impressed with their play.
Yeah, it's been pretty impressive, I got to say. From what I'm hearing from people who have, participated in Stanley Cup finals and won cups and done all that the hangover seems to kind of come in November once everything settles down. But, you know, this Blues team, and I was talking about it today, was that, last year they won on grit, determination. They were considered to be a big, heavy, physical team, black and blue hockey. And, I'm watching the first three games, and they look fast out there. The Blues look really fast. And I know that it's literally the same squad, minus Pat Maroon and Joel Edmondson. They've, added Justin Falk. I almost called him Marshall Falk. I mean, that'd be kind of fun, but they've added, that guy, but they look fast out there. I mean, they're skating with the Maple Leafs, who have a young, fast, skilled hockey team, and they look really good. The number one thing that I like is the way the defense are joining the rush, keeping plays alive, keeping pucks alive in the offensive zone. And I got to say, Alex Pietrangelo, he looks incredible right now. And, I've been joking around that Doug Armstrong better hurry up and get him signed, because unfortunately, every time he touched the ice, I feel like the price is going up for this guy.
Yeah, you created a little bit of a buzz the other day after Doug Armstrong pulled another rabbit out of his hat and signed Braden Schenn, which, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about. But, you know, he does that. And then for an encore, you know, you said that you had a feeling. I think some people took your feeling to mean that you had a real inside source that was saying it was happening. But the truth is, you were just saying that you were feeling good, that you think this thing could actually get done. And heck, just a week ago, we were thinking it was one or the other, if one at all. And here we are with Braden Schenn locked up for 8 years, really kind of out of the blue. And a real possibility, like you said, unless the price continues to go up, of possibly locking up our captain long term. How are you feeling about this whole process in general?
Well, look, you know, like when I woke up on Monday morning and I said I had a feeling about it, there's a couple things that go into it. One, I was still kind of having some fun from the interaction last week where Kimby talked about me drinking or guzzling Bud Light. And I thought I would have some fun with it and say that, you know, even though I might be guzzling Bud Lights, I feel like this deal can get done. And, you know, on top of that, the Blues were going to play in Toronto. I know that's where Alex Pietrangelo's agent is based out of, the same guy I had when I was entering league as a young player. And, you know, a lot of times when they get all these people in one area or one room, they make magic happen. They do. They sit across the table and they hash it out. It's a pretty quick process. So, you know, that was really all I was basing it on, was that, yeah, I got a feeling that they could get a deal done by the end of the day. And I just thought it was a possibility. No insider information or anything like that. It just seemed to make sense. And I really hope it does work. You know, the Blues, depending on how they structure it here, you know, I don't know how long the term would be in order to make the AAV, the average annual value of his contract, to put that into a number that would make sense for the Blues, because, you know, you and I both know Petro's at 30 years old now. You give him an 8-year deal, I mean, that's kind of pushing the envelope, maybe. You don't mind adding a year or so onto it, but you also don't want to have some dead years at the end of the contract. But then the shorter you get in term, it's usually going to be a higher annual value on these guys' contracts. So I think that's where the sticking point is right now. I think both sides have, you know, basically reached across the table and said, hey, we want this marriage to work, or we want it to happen, but, you know, how do we get there type thing? And I think that's where they're at right now, is trying to get creative and figure out a way to make it work for everybody. And, you know, I really hope it gets done. I mean, Alex Pietrangelo has looked really good this year. He's looking fast. He's up the ice. I mean, he's got 2 goals in 3 games. And they haven't just been, you know, kind of sort of goals. They've been exclamation points. You know, the one-timer in game one from the Ovechkin spot, we'll call it. And he goes top shelf. And then, you know, last game, last night, he jumps into play, a great read by him, gets the puck and buries it from a bad angle for the game winner. And at the same time, you know, that's his 23rd game winning goal as a Blues defenseman. And guess what, Grums? He passes Al MacInnis with that goal. So, you know, you start to put things in perspective a little bit. You go, you know, maybe Alex Pietrangelo is in a category here that we haven't talked about yet. I mean, when you start passing guys that with the last name MacInnis, you're doing something right.
Yeah, I've been impressed with his play this year. I thought he definitely picked it up in the playoffs last year. We even had Coach Henson buying into the Pietrangelo play last year for sure. But, you know, fitting him in to the Blues' long-term plans, I got to ask you, nobody probably has looked at it more than you. Is it realistic math-wise?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing is, right, like, they've got some room there, and you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. And I know Doug Armstrong today came out and said, you know, we want to be a team without superstars. And you know, basically what he meant was, I don't want to have 3 or 4 guys making all of the money, and then we have nothing left to give other players in order to stay competitive. he would like his superstars or his top players to take less money, to buy into the culture, to buy into that Blues mentality of we want to be competitive every year and we'll shave a few dollars off the top. So, you know, if Petro buys into that, as other guys do and continue to do, I mean, you can't just have one guy buy into that thought, because then it just bites everybody in the rear. But if Petro buys into it and the team can come to terms with, you know, how many years they want, the salary cap is going to go up. The NHL has a brand new TV deal that's going to kick in next season, which will automatically raise the cap. And if revenues continue to go the way they have, then that will raise the cap. And if you get, let's say, another $5, $6 million of wiggle room in there, it makes it that more possible for it to happen. So mathematically, there's probably people that are a lot smarter than me that can figure this out. I just think that per Doug Armstrong's comments that, you know, Alex Petrangelo is going to have to fit somewhere in that $8 million range in order for this thing to work.
As I look at it, so I'll ask you this then. Do you think there was a little bit of gamesmanship on Doug Armstrong's part with that quote today? Like, was that his message out loud to Alex? Like, look, if you play ball here, we want you here the remainder of the term.
Well, I think it's probably his message to the entire roster, right? Like, Braden Schenn just took a little bit less money. He could have gotten more on the open market. There's no doubt in my mind he could have got a higher annual value is what he could have got. And, you know, 6.5 is his cap hit every year. He easily could have been a $7 million-plus player. And I think they've got some contracts that are coming up in the next couple of years. And you know, like, even though in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was no salary cap in place, the Detroit Red Wings had this, you know, Red Wings way, kind of like the Patriots, where nobody made more than Steve Yzerman. And he was your captain, he was your guy, and even Steve Yzerman took a ton of hometown deals in order to be able to put guys like Hull and Shanahan and Chelios and Lidstrom and Hasek, and I mean, you just name, keep on going. And they were only able to do that because you had a bunch of superstars that were willing to take less in order to keep the team competitive every year. And fast forward to modern day here with a hard cap in place, never has that been more appropriate than right now for a bunch of guys to buy into a culture that's basically set saying, look, we're going to take care of our guys, but we have an opportunity, especially with the group that we have, having proven that we can win, that these guys can stay together if they're willing to negotiate, to soften up a little bit. Is it gamesmanship by Army? Maybe a little bit. But I think Doug Armstrong, I think he likes the taste of champagne out of the Stanley Cup. And I think that he knows now with that group of guys that won it last year, he knows what they feel about it. He knows they like the taste of that champagne too. And I don't think he wants the band to break up. And I think that this is his best sales pitch that he can make to everybody in order to have more parades down Market Street. And, you know, is it gamesmanship? I don't know. Is it a hell of a strategy? I think it's a good try. Why not?
Yeah, I'm not sure they really have anything to lose. And again, he's the captain. I think he gets it and he knows. I would agree with you. I think Schenn could have got a little bit more on the annual, I guess, but I'm sure he's happy with the length of the deal he got. And that's a big part of it.
Probably the exchange that they had though in that one, right?
Sure.
It's probably that Schenn wanted to make, you know, somewhere between $48 and $50 million, and the easiest way to get there was to extend it by a year, because if he goes somewhere else, the maximum he can get is 7 years, because that team doesn't own his rights. And even then, if the team goes 7 times 7, that's $49 million. That's about the max he could have got out of it. But by staying here with the Blues, adding an 8th year to it, lower the annual hit for the cap, and he ends up making, what, 50-plus. So it's amazing how that works.
Well, I will say this. I'm excited about the possibilities only because I think this group seems to have found, I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, the system, they didn't find it. I mean, the coaches put it in place and then they execute it. But this really seems to be a group that plays together, and you hate to just use a generic term, like in the right way, but boy, it's amazing. And you said something the other night that I saw on Twitter, that it appears to you that some of these teams, while who knows, maybe they're better than us at the top, are having trouble with our depth. Now, depth is something that comes from having the ability to sign players down on those, I guess if you want to call them third and fourth lines, they have better players there. So that's a luxury that we currently have right now, and I'm assuming that it's something that, you know, they would want to maintain as they go forward with this group.
Well, I think that's really what it boils down to, Cromes, is, and I think that's really who Army's trying to, you know, he's trying to reach out to the superstars, certainly with his one comment about, you know, keeping everybody in the proper range. But that's only because that's what affords you to keep those third and fourth liners. I mean, you and I both know that if the top end guys go for maximum dollar amount, well, where are you going to shave your cost? It's not going to be off your all-stars. It's going to be off your plumbers, off your blue-collar guys. You're going to go and find cheaper role players because you have to. And cheaper doesn't make them better. And that's where I think the impact is going to be seen and felt, is that our third and fourth lines in the St. Louis Blues are equivalent to maybe second or third lines on other teams. But because we're so deep, we have that luxury. And that's really where the difference is right now for the St. Louis Blues, is when they start rolling their line, like, they just come at you in waves. And it's like there's no drop-off. I mean, I remember as a player, you get up there, your first two lines, and, you know, then the third line was kind of a checking line, fourth line with some grinders, but there was a drop-off in the ability and in the talent. And right now, when you look at the Blues, like, where's the drop-off? I mean, I know not every guy is O'Reilly or Tarasenko, but if you took anybody on all four lines and put them on the top line for a game or two, like, they could carry the play. They could be a part of it. And that's what makes the Blues dangerous, is they essentially have a team that's so well balanced that there's no pause in the action for the opposition.
As I look at this group so far, I know that a lot of people probably went into this season wondering, okay, where do we sit with, let's start in the back end. And I think Jordan Bennington's answering a lot of questions for people. I know it's three games in, but so far, so good.
Yeah, he looked really strong last night in Toronto. You know, I thought that there were probably a lot of question marks, especially him going home. I mean, Toronto's close to home. It's where he, you know, from that area. Toronto has a very powerful team offensively. They have some real studs that are on that team. And if there was ever going to be a moment for him to have a letdown or have a chink in the armor, could have been that game, but he didn't. I mean, he was arguably the Blues' best player. He made some incredible saves, kept them in the game, made another pad save in the third period that reminded me so much of one of the saves he had in the first period against the Bruins in Game 7, where, you know, the guy's all by himself, thinks he's got him beat, and then, you know, and throws out that go-go gadget leg, and it grows like 4 inches longer, and the guy has nowhere to go with it, and Bennington's robbing again. And, you know, if he doesn't make those timely saves, then the Blues, you know, there's probably more often than not they lose those games, even though, you know, it's just a goal. It's the timing of the goal, the momentum it can create, or that it can suck out of a team. You know, Jordan Bennington's that goalie that never gives up the goal that's going to cost you the game.
Do you ever look at this thing and come up with anything, like any like earth shattering thought, or, you know, from a guy like you who scouts systems and teams and players and talent, and you've helped all skill levels, have you been able to come up with anything that explains this? I mean, just being frank, I mean, he wasn't even on the radar, and now here we are. I mean, can you even come up with anything?
Well, you know, listen, Jordan Binnington has obviously not always been this good, okay? He was a very competitive goalie back in junior and talked to a bunch of guys who played against him, talked to guys who coached him in the OHL, and they just said that he was always able to elevate his game in pockets of the season, and you could see how good he, you know, potentially could be, and you know, that's why he got drafted, and that's why he was a prospect coming in, and then the Blues kept drafting goalies, and they were very goalie-rich for a while, and it started at the top to where they had Halak and Elliott, you know, guarding the net up here, and that was a good tandem, and then it ended up being Elliott and Jake Allen, and just kind of seems like the list goes on, and Jordan Binnington, you know, he was on and off the path for a while, but in talking to Craig Berube, when he had him in Chicago in the minors a couple of years ago, he just said there was something about him. He just kept competing and kept playing. And, you know, now we've seen his swagger and the way, you know, he kind of, you know, acts and how confident he is. Well, he was that way down the American League. And that, you know, Chief took notice of that. And last year when they had an opportunity to put him in, several people in the organization thought it was time for Jordan Binnington to at least get a sniff. And when he came up, you know, the chip on his shoulder or whatever he had gone through for the, you know, handful of years in the minors, Jordan Binnington didn't want to go back down there. He did not want to ride the bus anymore. He did not want to be eating sub sandwiches while traveling from city to city. This kid wanted to stay in the NHL, and he wanted to show everybody we could do, and that's what's carried him this far. So is there anything that can explain it? I guess the only thing is the goalies take longer to develop, and some goalies aren't mentally tough enough to handle that pocket of time between development and stardom. And Jordan Binnington has been a guy that's been able to handle it and, in fact, thrive in that environment.
I guess we'll just sit back and enjoy it, huh? Why not,
yeah,
right?
I mean, shit, why question it? Let's just sit up, buy a beer, kick back and put our feet up and enjoy it.
All right, I got to ask you this one question, okay? Actually, I'm going to answer it first.
Oh, okay.
I've decided, I'm with you, there's no way Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy are married.
They're not married. There's no way. I know they had Muppets Take Manhattan, and I know that there was plans for a wedding. But, you know, if you look at Miss Piggy's Twitter and you check out their Facebook page, they're not in a relationship right now. So, you know, I don't know if they ever officially tied the knot, but I don't know if Kermit got, you know, cold webbed feet or she got cold hoofs before this whole thing happened. But Miss Piggy and Kermit are not married. There's no way.
Well, that's groundbreaking journalism that you've gotten into as being part of Tom Foolery. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Listen, I've been answering those questions all day long. Text messages and tweets, people sending me Muppet clips. God, it's hilarious.
All right, so you know, we're only three games in, so we won't point this to the end of the road here. But three games in, who's impressed you the most so far? Well, that's a bad way to put that. Who's stepped up their game this year and you're really happy with the way they're playing so far?
Well, same answer, Sammy Blais. You know, this guy, I said it a couple times this week, but he reminds me of Jeff Cortnell in a lot of ways. You know, Jeff Cortnell was a fast, speedy winger, had scoring touch, and was an absolute pain in the ass to play against. He got in guys' faces. He hit guys. He went after star players and landed on goalies and hit goalies and did everything he could. And Sammy Blais is turning into that. I mean, you look at him out there. He's controlling the puck. He makes great plays. He's in everybody's faces. And, you know, guys are going after him. Last night on the game-winning goal, Alex Pietrangelo gets wide open, or at least the passing lane becomes available, because Sammy Blais in front of the Maple Leafs net and two defenders are going after him. They're cross-checking him and whacking him. And, think about it. 5-on-5, two guys are trying to go after one guy and leave somebody open, or at least the lane. David Perron turns and finds that passing lane, and there we go. Game-winning goal, and Sammy Blais is in the middle of it. And you know what? You can go back to last year, Game 7, Boston Bruins, when Ryan O'Reilly scored his first goal on the deflection. Who's F1 on the play on the forecheck? Just annihilating a guy with a hit with Sammy Blais. Goes in, puts the pressure on. There's a turnover. Puck goes back to Jay Bouwmeester, takes a shot, deflected in. It's 1-0 Blues in Boston. And it's all because Sammy Blais is in there stirring up the shit. So to look at him play the way he has, and he's got 4 points in 3 games. He's a Blues leading scorer right now. So he's taking this opportunity, and he's running with it, man.
Yeah, it's been I got to tell you, I know, you know, 2-0-1, if you want to call it that, whatever the heck you want to call it. I think it's a good start. I really do. I think it's a
– Have you got your goddamn dog in the studio?
I sure do. I sure do.
I thought it was a hamster barking.
No, nope. Hey, this is what I got to do when I got to come in at all hours of the night to record the great Jamie Rivers. And, you know,
just bring a friggin' pocket full of treats. Keep that thing quiet. Chrome, we're trying
well,
to
you know, in our new studio over here, our new digs, one of the windows, I guess this late at night without anything behind it is kind of reflective. And I think they think there's two more dogs here. And I think it's got them a little spooked. But hey, listen, the reason they're barking is because they're liking what they're hearing. And I think if I look at this thing, I got it like where I was going with it basically was this simple. Three games in. I had no expectations whatsoever. I don't want to say that I was going to give the team a pass on the whole year because, you know, what's the, you know, I want to know what the statute of limitations is, you know, for when you win a Stanley Cup, how long before you can start crabbing again. But, you know, the reality of it is you've heard all the things, right? Like it's a long summer. They got a lot going on. It's hard to focus. Everywhere they go, people are asking about it. And it seemed, you know, like I said, I think the first game, I thought they came out well. You know, looked like the legs got a little tired towards the end of the game. The other two games, I think I'm with you on it. I think we our depth by far kind of propelled us through that as we just kept coming at them. But in the end, it you know, it's also three teams that aren't club scrub. I mean, that's three quality hockey teams we just played right out of the gate, and we're sitting here 2-0-1, and I know it's three games. I won't say door closed on some of the questions that we had to ask, but so far so good is kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, really, you're right. I mean, Washington Capitals are Stanley Cup champions 1 year removed. You know, the Toronto Maple Leafs are being touted as one of the teams to beat out of the Eastern Conference, and the Dallas Stars are being touted as one of the teams to beat in the Western Conference. So not gimme games at all, and there really aren't going to be very many gimme games at this entire season. Everybody's going to be up to play the Blues. But the one thing that I see out of this team, and it started to develop last year in January or just slightly before that, where they started to believe in each other, they started to block out all the noise, and all that mattered to these guys was who, you know, the guys in the locker room, the coaching staff, the training staff, everybody within their little bubble is all that matters. And they started to play for each other and work for each other, and nothing else is going to interfere. I mean, that's what I see out of these guys. Never do I ever think that they're out of a game anymore. Never do I think that they're going to be outmatched. I don't think they're going to be outworked. I just think that the leadership group, and that's the benefit of having all these guys back together again, is at any moment it takes one guy to be like, hey, we've been here before. This doesn't beat us. We don't lose this game. Like, we know we can win this game. Well, we know we can get through the situation. And they're not full of shit. They're not some pipe dream that they're like, somebody told me one time that we could get through this. No, they've fucking been through it. The whole goddamn thing, the ringer, they've been through it. The worst possible case scenario, and they still sip champagne out of the Stanley Cup. So now that information is stored in their brains, and they know how to tap into that extra gear, and that's dangerous. That makes them so dangerous because other teams are going to have to really stomp on them when they get a lead, or really stomp on them in the game, because the Blues are never going to ever think they're out of it.
If Alex Pietrangelo was to get signed here in, I don't know, the near future, Is there got to be a corresponding move to free up some salary space? I mean, I hate to go from one extreme to the other, but you know, you know where I'm going with this, I think.
Yeah, no, listen, here's the thing. One, I think you have to see where the salary cap ends up, and I know that's an obvious answer, but really you do. You have to see where that number is, because if there's some crazy bump in revenue and all of a sudden you've got a few, you know, $5, $6, $7, $8 million extra to play with, you may not have to do anything. If it doesn't move that much, then you're probably looking at trying to move Jake Allen. You know, that's $4 million plus that you'd like to free up, especially if Binnington goes on to prove that he is truly a number one goalie in the NHL. And I don't mean by talent. I just mean by endurance. And, you know, Billy Husso has a year that gets him ready to be a backup goalie. Like I said, it's $4 million that you can play with. There's other avenues to go down to. There's some players that, you know, maybe you get out from under. I know people on the tip of their tongue, they like to say Alexander Steen. This is the same place. Here's where I am with this, Chrome. And people who listen to the show will remember me saying it until I took a beating from you guys, but then finally kind of worked its way around. Is I used to say the same thing about Jay Bouwmeester. I used to say, if you didn't know how much money he made, you wouldn't mind him. And Alexander Steen for me is that guy now, where if you didn't know how much money he was making, you'd say, God damn, I like that Steen. He's smart. You know, he makes the right plays, a good leader, all these things. But then you see, you know, his paycheck, so to say, and you're like, well, we got to get rid of him. They got to buy him out. And I understand the business side of it says that you could buy him out along with moving Jake Allen, and you freed up $9 million in cap space just like that overnight. But I also feel like Alexander Steen is your Mr. Fix-It, too. You know, he dropped down to the fourth line. He accepted that responsibility. He was still part of the penalty kill in the playoffs. Every time the other team pulls their goalie, even in the Stanley Cup Finals, Alexander Steen is on the ice. And that says a lot about a player, from. And he's always a guy that seems to get a stick on it, get a foot on it, get a leg on it. And you're like, God damn, Alexander Steen with block shot again. You know, or a good player chips it off the glass or sets somebody up for an empty netter. So I don't know. Those are the two moves that, if you're looking at it straight math, those two moves make enough room for a guy like Petrangelo to sign his contract comfortably and the Blues to keep moving forward. Are there other options? Of course there are. You can, you know, look in different ways that maybe Zach Sanford and Robbie Fabry end up being casualties because they just can't solidify themselves as everyday NHLers. And, you know, now you've got probably a total of like $2.3 million right there in two players. And, I mean, you have to get creative and you have to start hacksawing your lineup down, but there's ways to get there.
Yeah, I think, you know, and the interesting part, and I know, you know, we always kind of go back and forth with Steen. I think the thing with Steen was, you know, the minutes. So for me, he's phenomenal in the role he is now. Yes, the money's a problem, because having a guy like that on your fourth line is a luxury, to be honest with you. But I think what you're saying is important, is that, you know, things aren't always going to go perfectly planned, and guys are going to have to step up and fill in for injuries and you know, play minutes. Maybe they're not, you know, for different reasons. So having a guy like that, if you had to put him on the power play, if you had to put him on the penalty kill, if you had to, this guy can do all this stuff, you know. So it is a luxury, but it's an expensive luxury, but it is a luxury, and it's probably one of the reasons why you won the Stanley Cup last year, so I get it.
Well, and there's ways around it too, right? Like, if you really wanted to get creative, especially now since we know the CBA is not going to be reopened in the next couple of years, the Blues could buy him out and then could re-sign him. I mean, you know, you can work a deal with teams where there's lots of stuff that goes on, especially in light of the Seattle draft coming. It's around the corner. There's lots of maneuvering that Doug Armstrong could do to try and retain Alexander Steen at a lower annual cap hit. But there's always risk involved, too, of the player not being cooperative and saying, screw you, or this, that, the other, or getting a better deal somewhere else. but there is ways. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Well, so far so good is the mantra here. Things are going, I think, about as well as they could go for you right now. I guess we'll see as when we reconvene. You know, every time we reconvene, it's another game or two. So hopefully things just continue down that path. But they're not the only ones busy. You're busy as can be. You know, you're yakking all day during the day and working at night and doing podcasts. But Synergy Hockey Skills is as busy as ever, I assume.
Yeah, things are crazy. Like I said, a lot more hockey going on in St. Louis, which is amazing. And with that, there's more arenas and rinks being built. And, you know, the result of that is there's more ice time available for kids to continue to develop and get better. And Synergy Hockey is busy right now. We've got lessons going on 6 out of 7 days a week. We still have a few openings on a couple of the sessions. But the best way to find out is go to synergyhockeyskills.com, click under small group training. And it has all the ice times listed in there, and people can sign up and start up immediately.
Well, to give people a hint as to what time of night we're doing this, I'd say get off of here and go get some sleep because you probably need it. But I think everybody by now knows you don't sleep, and when you do, you hang upside down. So go watch some tape. You know what? That's not true. Actually, what you're going to have to do is go catch up on your baseball, because you got to talk about that tomorrow on your radio show, because – you know, we got Tampa Bay in Houston. You got to get ready for the Cardinal game, the LA game. I mean, you're covering it all, bud. You are a man of many hats.
I'm trying, buddy. I'm trying. I'm learning a lot, but I'm trying. You know, you pay attention long enough, you start to learn some shit.
Well, as everyone says, I think your best quality is you're keeping it real. So that's always a positive.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
All right, my friend, I'm going to let you get out of here, and I'm going to call your buddy here and get his thoughts on where we're at today. And like I said, I know the crowd is eagerly anticipating both you guys being here together soon. So hopefully schedules will allow that as we get rolling and get you guys back, get the band back together. The Blues aren't the only ones who need to keep the band back together. That'd be us as well. So get out of here. And I'll
fit Kimby under the salary cap. He's getting to be a bit of a diva.
A little bit of a diva. That's what he says about you, my friend. Now,
I know.
Media darling. Media darling is his term for you. Oh, media Jesus. Darling. So
I'm a lot of things, but I don't think I've ever been called a darling.
Well, you have now. All right, buddy. Take care of yourself, and I guess I'll talk to you in a couple days.
All right, Mr. Cromer, go take your dog out for a while.
I will. All righty. That is the great Jamie Rivers, the media darling, as Kimby likes to call him. And good stuff and good insight from him as always. And like I just mentioned, we're going to get Mr. Kimball on here in just a few moments. Before we do, I want to remind everybody to check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there. It's absolutely free. Make sure you guys find us on our social media sites at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. Follow us, please. Find us on Instagram as well, Blues NHL Podcast Show. Our big push is always Facebook. Type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our page, click invite your friends. When you see the pin post, that's the show. If you guys would like it, comment on it and share it. That helps us reach more people. Thank you to lineupmediagroup.fm for their continued support. We couldn't do it without you guys. Make sure you guys download Yo Radio for free on your mobile device today. You guys will love that internet radio station. It's awesome. Happy to be associated with such great people. You heard me mention innovativecompanies.com and Randy Green, all the great stuff they got going. Of course, you heard us talk about synergyhockeyskills.com. I want to remind you guys about the best barbecue in St. Louis. That's Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do box lunch orders, catering jobs. They do deliver it to certain places. And folks, I got to tell you, not only is the food phenomenal, the atmosphere is great. If you guys get over there and check it out, the staff is second to none. But what it comes right down to is you're looking for good barbecue. And as we always say, St. Louis has a lot of great barbecue. You will not be disappointed with Adam's Smokehouse. I know that we're biased, but we believe it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. That's Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Tell Mike and the gang we said hello. St. Louis, here's your cue. Can't thank our friends at Nelson Land Services enough for their continued support. NelsonLandServices.com. They're the great family that brings the great Darren Kimball to the show each and every week. Great friends of his, and they've chewed a lot of turf together out there in the amateur hockey community, and they're still going strong with a couple of kids, a couple of boys, and now a girl, I believe, playing hockey as well at a high level, and just a great family that wants to be involved in this amateur community when it comes to hockey, and they provide a great service. That's NelsonLandServices.com, 5-star locally rated landscaping company with reasonable prices, and you can count on the job to get done right. They don't know any other way, folks. That's NelsonLandServices.com. And there goes the intro music for the one, the only, the great Darren Kimball. Yeah, good stuff. It's time for the man, the myth, the legend, Darren Kimball to join us. What's going on, pal?
Oh, just another hard-working day. You know, just got to keep going, though. Keep putting the pedal to the metal, right?
I don't think these people out here understand the lengths I got to go through to get you guys on the horn here. You guys are busy men. Busy men.
Yeah. Busy men. You're earning your money. You're earning your money this year, Chrome. You're all over the place.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. I don't mind doing it because they want to hear from you, not me. So let's hear from you. You know, we talked about first game. We're going to give them a pass, right? I mean, it's opening night, and I thought they came out well. I think we all felt they came out well, kind of faded. Were you more impressed with the effort against Dallas?
Oh, for sure. I think just even looking at what they're doing here, you know, you're 2-1. You get a point out of the other one. I know it's an overtime loss, but so you're 2-1 coming off a Stanley Cup, you know, a short summer, a lot going on, but the Dallas game, the Toronto game, you played two top. I got Dallas going a long way in this thing this year, I thought, with the additions they made. And so you're not playing chump change here. You're playing good hockey teams. And questions are being answered that I got of myself. Can the physical part be there? And, you know, they're staying there. They're bumping and grinding what they need to do. They're playing teams with a lot of talent. They're skating with them. Last night with Toronto, it's just that's a powerful team that they just played there. You know, they've a lot of people like them, and they spent a lot of money. And the Blues skated with them, and they bumped with them. And then again, your goaltender last night was my question is he going to be a flash in the pan or no? And he's sort of answering that right now. So I'm really impressed with what's going on with them right now. It's like they haven't missed a beat here. They just keep coming, and it's—I don't know if that goes to their. Obviously, it does. The coach has to get a lot of the credit because you know he's that's his. You know, every day he says, you know, win or lose, you throw it behind, and now we go again, and here they are. They just keep answering the bell, and it's awesome to see, man.
You know, I think it's early, right? It's been three games, and you know. You can look at stats and all that kind of good stuff. Let's talk about the play. You know, like I said, stats, I think this early in the game are a little misleading one way or the other. So let's talk about the play of the guys. You brought up Bennington. So let's just get him out of the way. It has only been three games, but, you know, I think he's played well. I mean, nothing looks any different to me than it did last year. And again, three games, but I know it had to be a question mark for people, even if they didn't want it to be. What's that?
It's a question mark for me. I wondered, you know, he come in and got hot and stayed hot last year, and he's new to the NHL. He's like he's not here. He's not a 10-year veteran, or he's not an 8-year veteran, or even a 3-year veteran. He was new to the NHL last year, and he got hot, and basically. I don't care what anyone says. Besides, the next guy in line was Berube. The two of them, everything changes when these guys come, right? So, you know, did I say he was going to come in again and go? You know, Bengo are going to start up last night. They don't win without Bennington. You know, he had to hold the fort a little bit last night, and he did. And if you have a goaltender that'll hold the fort, you know, if you could count on him. And I'm not going to try to bring it up and throw bad out there, but with Jake and that, and when he was there, and a couple goalies prior to that, the Blues sort of that was something that always was there. Just, could the goaltenders sit there and hold the fort while they weren't ready to play, or when they were sort of maybe not on top of their game? And that's what this guy does, man. It's incredible what he's doing right now.
Well, as I look at him, I mean, like I said, I am I prepared to say, you know, he's the next coming of Ken Dryden? No, but it is three games. Has three games answered any questions? No, but it three games in, knowing what you're dealing with here and you haven't played club scrub, has got to make you feel pretty good.
Yeah, you can. You can't be, and I would be the first one to jump there because that was my biggest question coming in. I've said it before, can he come back? And so, I'm impressed, and it's early. I get it, and there's going to be if these guys at some point in time, with what they've been through the last since Christmas time, so whatever you want to say, and then that little layoff they get, there's going to have to be a lull here at some point in time. You think? I'm just a sports person. Any sports, I'm a sports fan of a lot of it. I played professional sports. You know, it's hard to keep the pedal to the metal all the time, and it's but with a goaltender doing that, and you know, eventually here they're going to have to go to the backup. You know, Jake's going to have to come and play some games here, and you know, it's going to be interesting what goes on.
Well, I was going to ask you, so since we're on the goaltenders, they got to get him in there, right, at some juncture. Yeah. Here is it safe to assume, and I don't even know when it is, the first back-to-back night, do you just keep playing Bennington until that first back-to-back night, or do you not want that to be the message to Jake, you're only playing because it's back-to-back? Do you get him a start here?
I think correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they got Ottawa up here next? Are they next on the poll? And if they are, I think Ottawa's coming soon. I think he's got to go then. That's what I would do. You're not going to worry about. I don't think you worry right at this point in time of going back to back. I think you got to get him in there, and he's faced. Bennington's played three good challenges right off the bat. You know, Washington, Dallas, Toronto. So that's sure. Big. So. You know, if I'm correct, I know Ottawa's coming.
Yeah, you're correct. We have we play Ottawa on Thursday.
Yeah, so I would be very surprised if Jake don't get a pull here on this one. I think maybe you go with him then. So that's just my what I would do probably.
Okay, so now that you know we because I didn't want it to be Bennington to be the answer. I wanted you to go a different route. So anybody standing out to you this early in the campaign that you're like, you know. Yeah, I'm impressed. Or is answering the bell?
I think so, Sammy Blah or Blay or however we said
don't
it
go
last
back
year.
To that. Nobody liked it when Jamie got the blah going last year.
Yeah,
so don't
I
do
know.
That.
But I think you got to be really impressed with what he's been up to so far. It's you know, he's coming, he's competing, he's hitting. You know, and I think his role even gets a little bit bigger this year. And I know. He's playing higher up in the minutes here, but with Maroon gone and Edmondson gone, that's two physical players that were played a little bit more physical. So someone's got to bring that up. So guys like Bertuzzo and Blay, he's going to have to be one of them. And he's doing that. You know, he's putting hits on, but he's getting to the net. He's going to the areas where he's got to go to with those guys, and he let them handle the puck and get to the net. And that you'll make a pretty successful career yourself if you do that. But they're going right now, so you know. But it's a team as a whole, just the way they do things. Chromes, they just work. You know, they're there. They're doing the little things right now. And like I said, I think it's a continuation of what they did, the role they went on last year. There's a lot of trust in everybody, and they all play together. You never know who's going to be the hero one night. You know, someone's going to become the hero tonight, and then it's someone else the next night. So that's just the way these guys are going right now.
Mr. Rivers, one of his observations, and I'm curious your thoughts on it, because I think it's pretty good observation, is that so far where we're seeing the other teams maybe have a little issue with us is our depth. You know, maybe other teams may be a little stronger 1 through 6, but, you know, mm-hmm. when you start getting 1 through 16 up front, or I'm sorry, 1 through 12 up front, mm-hmm. and then, you know, deep as we are on the back line as well, that it becomes a little bit of a challenge over the course of 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Is that a fair assessment?
I think that, yeah, you're correct on that. Cause if you can roll four lines and just keep coming and coming and coming, that's huge. And, some other guys are going to play a lot of younger guys down on your third and fourth line. You know, guys are just coming into it. That aren't, and you know, I hate to say that, the top six and that, but that's a fact. That's the way hockey is, or any sport. Your top players are up there playing, but the you know, you watch the Blues again. I keep going back to the run they were on, but that's what they did. They roll guys in, then they just roll lines. They go boom, boom, boom. Four lines are going, and you know, Barbashev, you know, they're doing well. Steen, he's doing well. They're all everyone's doing their little part right now. So I think. They're riding out what they started last year, and it's and you're like what Riv says, they're deeper, so they can go four lines, and that's big at this time of day. It really is, because if you keep coming and putting pressure on, pressure, that's big.
This would be a great question for you, because I know it's come up. You know, Sammy Blay obviously is trying to fill that void that Pat Maroon left, as he's playing a physical hockey game, but he's not Pat Maroon.
No.
But he's Sammy Blay, And and yeah, and the team as a whole is trying to play more of a physical game, I know. But there's going to come a time where somebody's got to answer bells here. And who's that going to be? I mean, we know Bortuzzo will. But, I mean, is it just it doesn't matter now? Or
I think
it'll just be somebody, and it won't be that big a deal when it happens. It'll just be, you know, he stood up for his teammates. Not that we were worried about anybody getting a message here.
Yeah, but I think, and this back when, you know, and I'm not trying to be go back to the fighting and that, because
yes, you are, but that's okay. Well, yeah, you are, but that's
there,
okay.
There was always someone there to take it. So, and there were nights back, even back in the day, Crumbs, when there was no one. If there wasn't a tough guy in the lineup, but there was a team that was a really competitive team, and so you were going in and playing two or three guys, the only way that you could really get around the process, if you didn't have someone to match up, it would be five guys on the ice would just all go to the same thing. So all five guys would go to the area, and then everyone would just, because you're not, all five guys aren't dropping the gloves anymore. That doesn't happen anymore. But, you know, back in the day, you might have to worry a little bit that, we're in trouble here. Some guys would get a little concerned, you know, but now, if there's a little scrum or there's someone doing something, if all five guys meet at the pile, you know, that's really, whether or not you're going to be able to beat the guy up or not, if he does something stupid or not, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm just saying all five guys are going to go there and they're going to try to stick up for one another. So instead of just doing individual, and Patty Maroon didn't have to fight a lot. He had to step up a little bit, and I agree that he had to. And the thing with Patty Maroon that I think you miss more opposed to the, Not you're going to miss the physical part. That is going to play. But Sammy can come in there and do the physical part. He can hit in that. But there's a cockiness that Patty had. And, you know, he'd go through and he'd go by the bench and he would say some stuff and he would do this. And just to keep people on edge and, you know, get under people's skin. I don't know who's going to do that now. So that's where Patty Maroon come in at. Because, you know, he'd go by and he'd say something and you just keep talking to their better players and try to throw them off their game. I don't know who's going to do that. That's the one part I don't know who fills that spot. And so, but as far as the other part, the toughness goes, if anything goes, there'll be five guys there all the time. So if the rule scrum goes, I'll guarantee everyone's going to the house. And then the rest are going to get in there. And like I said, there's no fighting anymore. So just go there, make your presence felt, and then get out. And then the guy knows, well, at least they're going to stick up for one another. If you don't go stick up for one another, then it looks really bad. So now that they're but that the Patty Maroon part, though, I still think there's a cockiness that they're sort of maybe might miss down the road. I don't know if that comes sooner or later, but I think it comes at some point.
So I guess my question to you would be this. When we play Ryan Reeves and Tom Wilson and that bunch, that style of player, we really don't have anybody that's going to square up with those guys, right? We just aren't going to do it. So the question becomes, is it something that just kind of plays itself out? Or do we find ourselves in a situation where we're going to get taken advantage of in some of those little things you talked about? I know a lot of people want to say, well, it's not part of the NHL anymore. Well, I understand they're doing it, but there's still some guys that exist and they play a role. And I think every one of us would take Ryan Reeves on our team, right? So yeah. I guess what happens when we play those teams? Nothing?
Well, you're gonna have to see how it plays out. And unfortunately, that's the situation that you're in right now. So as it goes through, and if you go to play a Ryan Reeves or a Wilson comes in and he goes and runs somebody, you know, at some point in time, Armstrong's going to have to say, or, you know, I can't let this go on anymore. You know, maybe I got to have a guy around somewhere. I know Thorburn didn't play much last year, but he might have been a guy that you could have called on that to come out of the, bring him up from the minors and just to help for a certain game or something. So he might have to do it game by game or, you know, but I don't even know if they got a guy in the minors to do that. So, I don't know where if it runs into trouble and consistently goes, you know, they, especially with, you know, you got Chief sitting behind the bench, a coach that used to do a job like that. So if he feels his team's getting intimidated, I'm pretty sure he's going to walk through the door and go into the other door where the GM sits and say, I might need a little help here because I feel we're getting intimidated. But you know, that's going to be the character of the team. Can they fight through it? The NHL is different now. It's not near what it used to be. Can you worry about eight games that you're going to play like a Reeves and a Wilson, that many players in the league anymore? So, you know, do you want to take that chance? Maybe they do. I don't know that.
It'll be interesting the first time it happens and you kind of see how it goes. I have no doubt that there aren't guys willing to stand up. There's no doubt. But you're talking about some guys where you may wind up eat drinking through a straw for a while. That's my concern. Yeah. So
yeah, and because it doesn't happen at all, and I even hate to go there with it, Chromes, because of the bullshit that goes on in the media and how they ran on all the tough guys down and all that bullshit, and they just kept pounding guys that they're doing all this and they're bad for hockey, and I got sick of their shit. So I sit on Twitter and I watch this, and I know there's some faithful guys on there that go and fight this battle all the time, and I listen to them and I agree with it most of the time, but I just get sick of the shit because, you know, they badmouth the people that, and the old fans and that really love the guys that did that kind of role. You know, they don't really get a voice in that matter, and there's no one in the media that they're sort of sticking up for the job that we used to do. So it's sort of an endless fucking fight you got to battle with these guys. So I just let this new age hockey let it run itself, and then you just stay out of it and see what happens. And then you can only have the conversation with yourself or people that did the thing because no one else is going to believe what the hell you're saying anymore anyway, you know?
Well, I will say this. It's going to happen. And we'll figure it out when the time comes, because, like I said, I don't know that there's too much else you can do there. So we will figure that out. Before you go, last question. You've mentioned that, like, when he traded for Justin Falk, you thought this guy's definitely got pictures of somebody, and now he's found a way. He must do different math than me, because we all kind of assumed that it was Shen or Pietrangelo if he got either one of them. So not only is the guy signed Shen, which kind of came out of nowhere, in my opinion. I mean, maybe you guys know something I didn't know. But now we're talking to Pietrangelo. So I know that, like, I don't like math. I don't want to be involved in any math. But is he doing different math than I am?
Well, let's remember how these GMs sort of work in that. I don't know where he's at and where they can. But look what they did with Pronger back in the day. So Phoenix Coyotes took on Pronger's contract. So people are taking on contracts and shit that's going on. So if you don't see the real numbers, it's hard to gauge what's going on. I know the contract that Shen signed, though, helps this organization out immensely in the early on. I hate an 8-year contract. I don't give a shit. So Shen's 28 right now, which I believe he is 28. So he's 36 when his contract's near the end of this thing. Now, I don't know what kind of hockey player he is in 4 or 5 years. I love him the way he plays right now. I think he's phenomenal. But what's he like in 5 years? You know, 6 years? Who's going to take care of that? You know, that's you get into these contracts, and we've talked about this before, and I think Steen's he's one that sort of comes to mind, because I believe he signed a long contract, and we're sitting on the end of it. Yeah, they want a Stanley Cup, but you got a guy making whatever Steen's making, $4 or $5 million, and he's playing on your fourth line now. You know, that's a hard one to, and I just don't get that. Yeah, it's great because it helps it out, but I don't know. You're getting into Petro now, and you're talking about signing him. That's a lot of money there, man. And Petro's at the end of it. You know, not he's not the end right now, but he's in the back quarter of his career. You guys think, don't you?
Yeah. I think I know where you're going with this. Basically, of course, you like having him for the next 3 or 4 years. It's going to be the second half of the contract that are we going to be sitting here, like all of us are with Steen. I wish we could move that contract, and we're not able to move it. So, you know, are you robbing Peter to pay Paul here? I don't know, but
yeah. And I want the player. I want the players to get paid. Cause you know, they like Shen should get paid. He's a big part of this hockey club. So I love that he's getting paid. That's what I like. It's too bad that it can't fit in 6 years and he gets a higher value for 6 years. I would have been fine with that, but yeah, you got to, the salary cap makes you do a bunch of crazy things. So, but I would like to do it in 6 years as opposed to 8 years, because I know what's going to happen in year 7 and 8. I don't think it's going to be as positive as it is right now. I do know that. So if you get Petro going for another, say they sign him for another 8 years, what the hell are you looking at? You know, what kind of team are you going to have here if you keep signing these 10-year contracts? You know, is Vladdy coming up next for a 10-year contract? You know, what are the fans going to be watching in about 8 years? 6 years. I don't know. That's just a thought.
Well, and again, we're not here to bag the thing, right? Like we're glad, but is there too much being made of, so to speak, keeping the band together? Like what's your thoughts on that?
That's where he's gone. So, and it's hard to do in this day and age when you're in the salary cap, because you go win a Stanley Cup, usually people come start picking your players, because everybody loves people that have gone through the journey and won a Stanley Cup. So if people got rings on, people like them people, and because they bring something, they know what it takes to get there, and that's sort of contagious. You know, I've when I played, guys that I played with, many of them, you know, those are the stories you like to hear of how they what it took to get there. So then, you know, to do it, those are the kind of people you want on your team, and hopefully it repeats itself. So, you know, the process is great, but I just to keep them all together, it's amazing that he was able to do that. You know, if they come back and win another one this year, if it's you know, they got to be in the top five teams for sure going into this thing. So there's a possibility if everything holds court. So yeah, that's great, but you still you know. Did you sell the whole farm out and now you're banking on 2 or 3 years and then you're going to fight this like Chicago's been doing here for the last whatever? No, do you try to keep them together as much as possible and then you just sort of you don't even start making the playoffs anymore? Is that where you want to go with your fan base? I don't know.
Well, you know, for me, I can go either way. I guess the question for most fans would be is how much time is this going to buy you? And you know, this Stanley Cup, like how many years, like it's so hard to win, mm-hmm. you know, like we used to say with baseball, how many years off do you get for winning a World Series before the fans get restless, you know? And I'm not saying there'll be any need to. My hope is that we're really good for a while, but we know, and we've talked about it, not at length, but we've mentioned it, you know, there's only one team, I think, since the salary cap to go back to back, and they actually flipped half their roster, I believe. And, you know, so I guess... And we don't have to discuss this today, but I guess the question becomes, what's a successful season for you or and all of us in our opinion? Because we're all fans at the end of the day. Like, what mm-hmm. would be a successful season? You, I would say they got to make the playoffs.
For sure. You know, got to be there.
So
I think the way that they've set this up, it's sort of, and you can call me crazy by saying this, but, you know, last year was sort of out of nowhere. They went and win the whole thing. So now people are going to say, well, you know, that was all, you know, they wrote a goaltender out. And so there's probably got a little bit in everyone's belly that's sitting in there to say, you know, let's go do this again to just show them that we are that good. Cause there's a lot of pride that's involved in the sport. So, you know, the guys that are coming back, you got, everyone's familiar with everyone. You got a good, on paper, you have a good hockey club. They showed that they've won a Stanley Cup with these guys. You're jumping a couple guys out of the pitcher, but you've added Falk, you know, pretty good hockey player on the back end. Sammy Blay hopefully can, but he was there last year, but he's moving up a little bit here. So, but there's going to be bumps and bruises along the way. And I think if you win a Stanley Cup and you bring back the same roster and you're coming back and you've added a couple or a player here or two, I think it's more than just make the playoffs. I think you're like winning the division here, and I think you've got to make a run for it, because I think you got about 2 or 3 years that you're going to have to run this thing, because I think it's going to, I think you're going to get hit right in the ass here on the way out the door after about 2 or 3 years.
Well, I think the issue there is I think most teams are going to deal with that. Anytime you have a salary cap, I think that's what you're going to deal with eventually if you want to keep the band together, so to speak. So,
but the reason it's a little curious what they're doing, and I'm not going to knock them because, hey, it's working for them, man. So I get it that, you know, they know their organization better than I know their organizations, but – you know, when you talk to Riz and that, you talk about the depth that he talks about. The Blues down in the minors and that, they got a lot of people getting ready to come into this process. And, you know, is there a way to turn it over where you got these guys that are making $4 or $5 million that you can jump this, like a Costin in here and all these other young players that are coming up and plug them in to these guys that are Steen and these guys that are getting near the end to keep it running for a while? And then maybe you're running around Petro, Shen, and Tarasenko eventually when he signs his, but maybe they're the cornerstone that you're going to have to run it around, and rightfully so, I get it, but there are numbers that are going to have to add up here eventually when it all said and done, right?
Well, my guess is by next year somebody's got to go, and I my guess would be, and I know they made a nice little article about Jake Allen knew he wasn't going anywhere. If Bennington proves his worth, he's not sticking around. I mean, there's no reason to keep him around. And then you would have to think something else would row too. But in the end, man, it's we'll see what happens, because I can't, you know, I mean, right now I think everybody wants to see these guys, wants to see what they can do, and wants to see them compete. So it's good stuff. But, hey, man, good stuff today. I'm glad you were able to make a little time here, and hopefully we'll be back on Well, this show we're doing tonight here, so it'll come out on Wednesday, and then hopefully we'll be back maybe on Friday or so. I don't know. We'll see. You guys, like I said, I'm earning my pay here with you guys, chasing you down and getting interviews. So, but I'm happy to do it because, like I said, they want to hear from you, not me. So.
Yeah, but I'm doing he's the radio man, and I'm the hard working man. So we're trying to combine it. So
well, you know, it's always never a dull moment. But hey, no. Good stuff as always, and we can't thank. I know you. The Nelson families, you're really tight with those guys, and they do a great job. So we thank NelsonLandServices.com for bringing us Darren Kimball as he makes time for all of us here. 5-star locally rated landscaping company with reasonable prices. They do tremendous work, and they're a great family. You know, one of their sons is going to be playing hockey somewhere really soon, somewhere to be proud of. And, of course, the other son, very proud of him as he plays at McKendree here for Coach Henson. And just a great family, and I know, Darren, you can't say enough wonderful things about him.
Yeah, no, he's a hardworking man too. You know, they get out of town. The one kid, the younger one, and he's got to travel with him. He drives up to Detroit, or he'll drive to Pittsburgh, or he'll drive somewhere and then back. And he puts in a lot of hours right now. I know it's going to be down to. I know the grass cutting and that's going to slow down here a little bit, but he's into the snow removal and all that stuff. So he's got a lot of. He's a hardworking man. He's always on the go. That's for sure. And you know, he's got a woman behind him that she's doing
the boss.
She's in the boss, and she's in the books and all that stuff, which is a hard job in itself. So, and they got a little. They got the youngest, the daughter. She's into hockey, AAA now. She's playing with Mr. John Wenzik. He's coaching her team. So,
holy moly!
Yeah. So they got that. She's traveling quite a bit too with the AAA girl. So, you know, they're busy people.
Well, they're good people, and we appreciate them and their support. And I know they do it just to support us, and they love the amateur community. So, good stuff as always, my friend. And I look forward to chatting with you maybe tomorrow, and we'll figure out our next schedule. But you take care of yourself, and I know you're busy too. So, see you soon, my friend.
All right, take care.
The one, the only, the great Darren Kimball. And again, I can't say enough great things about the guys on the show today. It means a lot to me that that they take the time and chat with the fans like we do. And to all of our listeners out there, thank you so much for your continued support of checking us out. Blues NHL Hockey Podcast .com. Happy to be associated with lineupmediagroup.fm and all the great things they do there, especially Yo Radio on your mobile devices. When you go to Blues NHL Podcast.com, you guys can subscribe to the show, which we would ask all of you to do. Please don't forget to find us on social media at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. Find us on Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast, and of course on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast Show. Special thanks one last time to all of our partners, Adam Smokehouse, Best Barbecue in St. Louis, folks. Don't forget to check them out on Watson Road. You guys will not be sorry for that one. Happy to be associated with them. You heard me talk about the Nelson family, of course, and SynergyHockeySkills.com. Make sure you guys get on there. And as Riff says, man, it's busy. Lots of great stuff going on. As always, thanks go out to our good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. He and his wonderful daughter do a tremendous job. You heard from her on one of our past episodes, all the great things they got going on. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green and Innovative Companies is the name you know and trust. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.